Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Well, it's a new year for the Steam Room, but the same theme. We are never going to lose that theme. Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, how are you, kid?
Man, I am doing awesome. I'm so excited for season two. Let's get this thing rolling, brother.
Yeah, what do we have? 32 episodes in season one? And here we go. This is, and this has always been a lot of fun. We have a wonderful guest coming up in just a bit. Masai Ujiri.
One of my favorite people in the NBA. Not just the NBA, ever.
Not only is he excellent at what he does, he's just a good guy with and always with an eye on how he can make the world better. Great stuff. And I can't wait for you to get to know Masai Ujiri a little bit better as we have our conversation coming up here on the Steam Room. Thanks, you all loyal steamers, for sticking with us. We start every episode of the Steam Room same way. Chuck's favorite phrase, first of all.
First of all, you know you have a lot of money when you get Honey Nut Cheerios. I've had the regular Cheerios.
First of all, you know anybody ride a motorcycle who makes millions of dollars is an idiot.
First of all, zero plus zero is zero.
So guys, I got this new invention. I invented something, Ernie. It's called a mask.
And you invented that, huh?
Guys, this is not a political statement. This is just about safety for yourself and other people. I mean, don't let this country be divided or something stupid. Just wear a mask out of respect. Even if you don't believe it, just do it for other people. You have no idea who has pre-existing condition. Just wear a mask. This ain't got nothing to do with political. Just please wear a stupid mask. Hey, second of all, Tara Vanderveer. I don't know her well. I got a chance to hang out with her a little bit at the 96 Olympics. She was awesome. And this week, she set the record for the most win in for coaching for a woman in college basketball history. She passed the late, great Pat Summitt. She's won two NCAA championships and a gold medal. Probably doesn't get the credit she deserves for being just an awesome woman and a great coach. But let me tell you something. She's winning at Stanford. There are certain schools, if you win there, it's self-explanatory. But they're not getting those McDonald's All-Americans most of the time. They're getting people who eat at McDonald's because of the academic standards. So I just want to congratulate her. I sent her a nice text because that's an awesome accomplishment. And the most wins in college women's basketball history, passing the late, great Pat Summitt. I wanted to acknowledge that because that's a great accomplishment, especially at Stanford.
So that's a first of all and a second of all. Is there a third of all? I've got a third of all.
Yes, go ahead.
Hats off to MLB. So Major League Baseball going to acknowledge all of those players who played in the Negro Leagues. So their records will go in the Major League record book. It's awesome and it's long overdue. Back when we were doing the playoffs, Chuck, I was hosting the studio with Jimmy Rollins and Curtis Granderson and Pedro Martinez. And in the course of our coverage, we ran a series which Torrence Wilson on our staff had spearheaded about the old Negro Leagues. It was fascinating. I think that on Bleacher Report, I think BR still has a link to all those segments. We learned so much about it. And then when you see how it progressed and how it would stop and start and different leagues would spring up, unbelievable characters, unbelievable talents in that league. And now, thank you, MLB, for saying you're in the record books.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to one of the greatest people I ever met, the great Hank Aaron. That man, he's somebody I got nothing but admiration. I know he means something to you and your family, Ernie, but I just want to give a shout out to the great Hank Aaron, who's just an awesome man, and also Willie Mays. And there's a guy who nobody on this podcast is going to know. His name is Leroy Miller. Leroy Miller was one of my neighbors. He passed away like in the last year. He played for the Birmingham Black Barons, and he lived in Leeds. One of the greatest men. I don't even know how good he was at baseball, but he clearly played in the league, so he was pretty accomplished. But one of the great men I ever met in my life. He was a great neighbor. So shout out to Mr. Leroy Miller and thank him for being a part of my life for a long time, and rest in peace.
Hey, let me ask you one more question before we take a break and then reflect on Masai. So how many masks are you still seeing a lot of folks not wearing masks? Where are you right now? I mean, because when you're out in Arizona sometimes, and sometimes you're in Atlanta.
Yes, I'm between Arizona and Atlanta. I see too many people not wearing masks. That bothers me. It's just selfish. And then when you sit around and watch TV, like I forget, it was in Kansas somewhere where the mayor of a city had to resign because she was getting so many death threats because she had a mask mandate. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This poor lady who's the mayor of some little city just wants people to be safe. And people are calling her, giving her death threats. That has got to be the silliest, stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
I was thinking about something, Chuck, too, that one thing that hasn't changed much in the, what has it been, 9 months? Since, you know, yeah, I mean, it was like mid-March. And so I still find myself where I'm questioning if I'm doing the right thing. You know, even if I'm masked up, there are still times I walk in some place and say, should I even be in here?
Yeah, oh, I agree. But I'm saying it forced a mask for me. I don't even want to get into the debate whether it works or not. It's just better than nothing.
Believe me, I'm all in on it. And even when I have it on, sometimes I'm thinking, should I be here? Are there too many people here? Should I be going over here? And that's what everybody's been going through, and it's still tough. And you say, should I go over and see my mom, or is that not the right thing? Even if I'm wearing a mask, that's been one part of this whole thing that's been very difficult to kind of navigate and to get over. Is am I being too cautious or not cautious enough?
And I don't even think there's a right or wrong answer because, you know, Ernie, you know I love movies. I'm not going to a movie theater right now.
No.
I know they're back open, but I'm not going because I don't know anything about anybody in there. I'm not going. Like, I'm trying to support local restaurants and ordering out. If I go out, I'm only going out with a couple guys I know, and we're going to social distance from other people. And the one thing that sucks about being Charles Barkley, man, people walk up on you.
Oh, yeah, they walk do. Up,
can I get a picture? I'm like, yo, man, I'm going to do it, but let's keep a little bit of distance and face the camera. Don't be talking to me, spitting toward my way. And because I don't want to be rude. I'm going to always take pictures, but hey, man, just give me a little space. I'll be happy to take a picture with you. And I got to give we do it occasionally and we should do it more, man. Shout out to all the nurses and the first responders. Let's don't be stupid for Christmas. Listen, stay with your own family. You know, I know Dr. Fauci, who's an amazing guy, and one of my favorite people ever is Dr. Sanjay Gupta. We knew that was going to, people weren't going to listen. They were going to get together for Thanksgiving because they're idiots. And I think it's going to be the same thing when Christmas comes. It just call people, send them their gifts. Don't try to get together. This thing is real.
No doubt. And again, having the same kind of conversations now that we did last time we were together on this podcast. It's season 2 of the Steam Room. We are so glad you're with us, and we're coming back with more after this. Welcome you back to the Steam Room, episode 1, season 2. And I mean to tell you, what a guest to have here, Chuckster, for our first episode of the second season.
Well, I just want to say this, Ernie. I am so excited to be back in the steam room, number one. Last year was so awesome and so much fun. And to kick off season two, we have a special, special, special guest.
He's the president of the Toronto Raptors. He's Masai Ujiri. And I'll say this, Chuck, as we get started, that last spring as the pandemic began and I was doing these NBA Together Zooms with players and coaches around the league, one of my favorite conversations was with this man who's got a wonderful story and is just a class act all the way. Masai, thank you so much for joining us on the Steam Room, man. And as we tell all of our guests, please keep your towel on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, we'll temper that enthusiasm once you start talking to us, probably. Chuckster, why don't you open up the Q&A, kid?
Number one, Canada is probably got the most really tight rules when it comes to quarantine and things like that. So you guys are going to start the season in Florida. How's that adjustment been? What's the situation with the guys' families? How are y'all going to handle this whole thing the first couple months of the season?
It's a great question. First of all, I'm so super excited, you know, like to be on with you guys, to watch the show, watch on TNT all the time, you know, like you guys, you make our lives and you guys don't even know it, you know, like you make us happy and you guys don't even know it, you know, like, and so I want to say, thank you and bless you guys, you know, for this. It's a great question, Chuck. Honestly, we're trying to adjust to it. Families, the whole team have moved down to Tampa, where we were lucky to do a partnership with the JW Hotel there, where we could set up a practice facility, set up offices, set up shop there for the guys to practice. In terms of living, it's been so difficult because when you think of COVID and you think of everything that families are going through and now we have to move them to even maybe like more uncertainty, people have so many questions, you know, like Florida, is Florida open? Is there more cases there? Where's our kids going to school? What's our insurance? Well, you think of so many things that you have to deal with. I'm blessed to have an incredible organization, incredible staff, incredible people that work, you know, like around us, incredible coaching staff and also players. And they're adjusting. We've been there for a couple of weeks now and everybody's really adjusting well. We miss home. You know, I think it's a great thing that Canada does because we've been in the forefront of tackling this pandemic and making sure people are safe, less cases. But there's a surge too, you know, like, and that affected us coming and playing at home here. So it's been difficult, but you know what? This is what this year has been, and we go face it head on, you know, and we're blessed to have an incredible sport that we work in.
I got a follow-up question. So I have been on cold weather teams and sunny teams. And when you're on the sunny team, y'all been great for a long, long time, obviously winning the championship. When you play in a cold weather city, it's nothing to do but go to practice, go to the games. And I've been on a warm weather cities where there's like, yo, let's go play golf. Let's go out and do some fun stuff. As the guy who's running that team, are there some concerns that your guys going to really enjoy the Florida sunshine?
No, I think so. There's so many, you know, like positives about there, you know, like you talked about the golf, you talked about things that they can do safely, you know, like safely. We want to be safe, especially in this surge. We knew this surge was coming, you know, in the winter. And our players are aware of that. I think the NBA has done an incredible job. I think sometimes people forget, Chuck, that we went through Naples. We had to do our training camp in Naples before we went to the bubble. We experienced the bubble also. We for, I think it was 80 days or how many days it is. We lost in the second round of the playoffs to Boston in the last game. But we experienced it to like for a long time in there. Then we come back to Canada, we have to quarantine for another 14 days. We have to go and do stuff in the draft, go out of the country, come back, quarantine for 14 days again, you know, go out, do stuff in free agency, come back, quarantine for another 14 days, you know, like, so it's actually like continuous. So this is, they're very strict here. Being in Florida will help, you know, like these players, these coaches, these guys express themselves like a little bit, but while keeping safe. And the NBA has its protocols and we will abide by them the best way we can, but I'm sure we'll take advantage of the situation we're in too.
What do you know, Masai, about any plans to get the vaccine?
You know, I've studied it as much as I can, and I know there's great plans for Canada. The thing is, this time, it's the timing. You know, like, I guess it's a timing thing for everywhere, but I know that Canada have done well in trying to at least figure out securing vaccines for all citizens in some way or the other. At some point, this is going to come, you know, like, and it's just the timing of it.
How much do you expect play to be interrupted? You know, when you were in the bubble at work, like, it couldn't have worked any better in terms of the pandemic. What do you expect to see, honestly and realistically, in terms of maybe a last-minute cancellation on a game because a positive test comes back?
Yeah, I think we should expect, you know, like those things, you know, like when you're going to organize this, I think the NBA has done a great job in setting these protocols, and they are strict, but it's our job also, you know, like to follow these guidelines, to follow these rules, to follow these protocols. And Ernie, there's going to be slips here and there. We all know that, you know, like there's. But I think the NBA has learned well with the bubble, and now it's open. People are back in their arenas. I liked what I saw in the two preseason games we had on how, you know, these things were handled, and I'm hoping that it continues like that. But to your question, yes, we have to expect something, and it'll be a game here, loss here, or one game there. And I think the NBA will adjust well to that.
You know, part of being a great leader, which you are, and the boss, you have to make big decisions. You made two of the biggest decisions for the Raptors ever, and they both worked out perfectly. When you had to fire the coach of the year and you, hey, we're going for it. We're going to go all in and get Kawhi Leonard. When you make those decisions, do you talk to everybody around you and get their honest opinion, or you already have made up your mind that I'm going to do what I think is best for the organization?
Chuck, honestly, like, I have a team around me, and it's a leadership team that's really, really good. And some, you're going to have to take all opinions. I think that's what it is. You empower people, you know, to speak their minds and say what they feel honestly. But these are smart people. We as leaders have to hire like smart people around us. At the end of the day, I have to say the yes or the no. We're going to have to come out with that. And that's the tough thing about being in these situations and being a leader. But I'm not one of those that just goes into, you know, like a room and says, you know, like, I'm going to close myself. And yeah, when I come out, I've come out with this thing that I've cooped up or I've talked about. No, it's grinding through. It's these decisions. It's studying this. It's studying data. It's studying people. And it was very, very, really difficult decisions to make with Coach Casey and DeMar DeRozan. You know, like, those were, they were really, really hard, because when you try to preach family, you try to preach togetherness, great organization, being together, and now we've done something that doesn't work. There's also the business side of it. I always say, Chuck, the hardest thing in this business, and I put like a big shield on, you know, like a bulletproof vest, you know, like with this, because these are the two hardest things in the NBA. Trading a player, and when a player leaves, right? You know, like, when a player leaves your organization, I've been part of that. Carmelo left Denver, you know, like Kawhi left us to go to the Clippers, you know, like it's hard, you know, like it's tough, but you have to be a professional. You have to be you have to stand up to these things and own them, you know, like when they happen. The reverse is the same. When you trade a player, when you let go of somebody, those things are tough. They are hard to walk to Dwayne Casey's office, you know, like to tell him what parting ways, you know, like, and that's not an easy thing to do. That guy is one of the best human beings I know, bar none. DeMar DeRozan is one of the best persons I know as a player, as a person. He's incredible. He's an incredible person, you know, like, but he never did anything wrong in this organization. Both of them, they supported the organization. They worked their hardest for the organization. But at some point, you know, like, there are sometimes we did it the same way for too long, you know, like, and now it was time to go like a different way. So, yes, I own up to these decisions. I'm the one that's going to face the music at the end of the day. But in making these decisions, I have to be a leader in bringing smart people around me, whether it's scouts, analytics people, whether it's data people, whether it's people that give you any kind of information that's going to make your decision, you know, like the best decision that you can possibly make.
Where do you fall, Masai? I know there's so much data out there. How does the pendulum swing for you between your gut and your data?
I think it depends on a lot of the things that you're looking at, you know, like, but I think in my opinion, data plays a big game, but it's going to come down to your gut feeling, you know, like it comes down to what your gut feeling tells you. And analytics is a huge part of it. I feel we have the best analytics department in the NBA. They are incredible. It was those guys that told me, this is what Kyle Lowry brings. This is what he can bring. When I first got to this organization, they're the ones that told me that. Well, on the other side, I have to manage the team. I have to manage the personalities. I have to manage all this stuff that we see. You have to look at their competitive spirit, how competitive these players are, what they give on the court. All those things, I think you have to take and combine all of them. So, to do it based on just one thing, I don't think it's not the way that I feel like we can run our organization. And we look at every single thing that's going to help us.
You know, I look at last year, Siakam, you gave him the big contract. He was an all-star. He had a terrific, terrific regular season. But was it a shock to him, the difference between being the number one guy in the regular season compared to being the number one guy in the playoffs, where they scout, you're only playing against good teams and they are scouting you? Is that a shock to his system?
You know, it's so hard to judge that, Chuck, because I think, unfortunately, there are going to be like a few players that were affected by this whole pandemic, and he was one of them. You know, like when this pandemic happened, Pascal, he won't say this to people, you know, like, but Pascal was here in Canada, stuck here in his apartment, you know, like not many places to go, nowhere to do much, and I think that kind of got to him, you know, like not being able to express himself, not being able to train. There were many players that had gyms in their houses. There are many players that were, I don't want to say breaking rules, but were playing in different places, you know, like Pascal was just in one place, you know, like, and I think that ended up being both that and that bubble situation. Not everybody like adjusted well to the bubble, you know, like that's difficult, you know, like in a confined space being there. So my hope is that, you know, like that was one of the things that when I see him now in training camp and how he's going back physically and all the things he's doing, you know, like it tells me that there was a moment, you know, like during this period that was not good for him, even more mental.
Let me shift gears here a little bit, Masai. And Charles has made the point of what a great leader you are. And part of that, I think, is realizing that the world does not revolve around basketball. And I love the website that you've started, thatshumanity.org. Explain what you're trying to get done there and explain the Humanity Manifesto and how folks can get involved in this.
Ernie, Chuck, it comes down to the basics, right, of who we are as human beings. You know, like when I look at the tough times that we've had in this year, you know, I thought with starting the death of Kobe Bryant, David Stern, you know, like you see all the pandemics we have with the racism, COVID. I can also say, you know, like that I'm happy, you know, like that President-elect Biden is going to take over, because I thought that brought the leadership brought a lot of negativity, you know, like not only in America, but around the world. I understand politics, but it wasn't, for me, it was very far from pure, real good leadership that brought people together. You know, like, and this is a time where we have to remember what that is. And I feel that it's almost like going back to being a baby when it's a blank slate. There's no divide anywhere. You know, like it's who you are as a person, almost pure. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. It's, we can help each other. We can help each other in many, many ways, you know, like, and sometimes I thought this negativity and just COVID, us being confined, just got us away from who we really are, you know, like as people. And I want us to come back to that basic. And that's humanity for me. Seeing each other, you know, like as we really are, it's so important now in these times for us, because basketball is basketball, sports is sports, politics is politics. At the end of the day, I have a couple young kids, you know, like that I want to grow into a world that where they know that, you know, like they can be seen as real people despite the color of their skin even.
You know, a couple years ago, you invited me up to a Nelson Mandela celebration. And it was one of the coolest events. Well, first of all, anytime I get a chance to come to Toronto, I'm coming. I told you, I said, Toronto is my favorite city in the world, one of the best kept secrets in the world.
I know.
But when I got your invitation to come up to the event, I was like, Toronto, Nelson Mandela, I'm in. And it was really awesome. Are you still doing that event?
Yes, I am. I am. And we've had it the last couple of years. We just celebrated him. If you remember, it was in December. We celebrate him on the day he passed away. This year, we had to do it virtually. But we're very excited to bring it back again next year, you know, like with everybody in person. I don't want anybody to ever forget this man, Chuck, because, you know, for me, he's looking down on us, you know, like, and he's blessing us in many ways. I want my kids to know who he was and what he stood for. Selflessness, a visionary, somebody that brought people together, you know, like somebody that fought and fought and fought, you know, like for freedom, an activist. It's unbelievable what he did, you know, like for us. What will we do now in a time like this, you know, like with such an incredible, incredible person, leader, you know, like that. And we have to continue to acknowledge and celebrate him in many ways. And I was blessed to meet him a couple of times. It changed my life. And I know that I would do anything to continue to celebrate him, because He is the essence of humanity. He is what humanity is all of. It is the beginning of humanity right there.
Chuck, there's a great story, by the way, and maybe you can give us the short version of it, though. Pete Babcock, and you know Pete, Chuck.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Was very influential in allowing that first meeting that you had with Nelson Mandela
Incredible, incredible. We were at Basketball Without Borders, and there were so many of us that had the chance to go. So many people wanted the chance to go to meet Nelson Mandela, but unfortunately, he was quite frail at the time, you know, like, and we were going to his office, and they could only accommodate, I think it was six people or so, and there was tons and tons of us. And so they put the ballot in a little bag, you know, like, and made people pick it out. And I didn't get chosen, and neither did Amadou Fall, who was one of the pioneers and godfathers of African basketball and what we do. And Pete Babcock, incredible, incredible change. This changed my life, you know, like, where his name was picked in, and then he looked at it and he said, you know what, Masai, for all you do on the continent, for everything that this means to you, this will mean more to you than it will mean to me, you know, like, and I'm going to give you my ballot to go. And honestly, like, Chuck, like, up to today, anytime I think of how he did it, it almost, like, it makes me, like, emotional, you know, like, thinking about this. I walk into this office, you know, like, and standing with Dikembe Mutombo, and Nelson Mandela walks up to Dikembe Mutombo, and he says, "It's an incredible thing you do with what you are doing for your people in Africa. Don't you ever stop." You know, like, and to see those two people there inspired me. I was a scout at the time. I was making $25,000 a year. I was scouring all over the world, you know, like, and to me, that moment, just being in there, and Pete Babcock gave me that opportunity to go to that meeting there. So bless him.
Wow.
Bless his family.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When's the first time you thought about, like, I want to be a general manager in the NBA?
You know, it's funny, Chuck, people ask that question, you know, like, and for me, I think a lot with youth. When they ask me advice, I always say, show more passion than ambition. You know, show more passion than ambition, because a lot of us try to push out. Oh, I want to be on that position. You haven't even done 10 minutes as being a scout. You want to be director of scouting. You haven't done 1 month as being a director of scouting. You want to be assistant GM. You haven't even done how many. Then you want to go and be GM. You have to have the passion for what you do. And to me, for me, how it happened for me was when I worked for Brian Colangelo, or when I worked for Jeff Weltman or Kiki Vandeweghe, I gave it my all, you know, like, and I served them. I served them, served the team, and give the best information that you can. And I'm telling you, if you do as good as that, people will spot you. Teams will spot you when they see that you know what you're talking about, or you're trying at least, you know, like, to be the best, to show your passion. For me, that's when it started to open up, you know, like, to me that, you know what, I'm going to work my hardest, you know, like, and I never pinpointed any job. When the Cronkies called me about the job in Denver, you know, like, I never called them, never asked them, never pushed anywhere. I didn't have an agent. They called me, you know, like, to get that job. And same thing with this Toronto job. I don't have an agent. I don't have people. So maybe by the grace of God, I'm not jobless, you know, like, and then I have to get an agent. But for me, I want to have that thing where I'm pinpointed for the job that I do rather than a promotion or anything like that. To me, you have to win. You must win. This business, this sport, is about winning. You win on the court, you win off the court, and while you do it, you bring people along. That's what it's about to me.
Damn, Ernie, I want to put a uniform on right now.
I know, and really, that's why Masai has never needed an agent, because this is the reputation, and this is why you will always be in demand. You know, you read things, you know, people say, oh, they got their eye on Masai Ujiri. This, you know, how do you handle all of that? And what makes an offer, or what makes talk attractive, that makes you say, they're talking about me? That would be something you would entertain.
Honestly, Ernie, you work. and you win, you know, like, and yes, you want to be rewarded for the work that you do, you know, like, but at the end of the day, I say it again, man, this game is about winning, you know, like this game is about great culture and what you instill in people that work with you and people that work all around you, you know, like, so honestly, I say it in all humbleness, you know, like, yes, we all want the good things. We all want to be treated, you know, like, well, for me, this game is about winning, you know, like, and that's what I want to do more than anything. If I can win here and I can win with all the things that we do off the court, man, like, that's what an unbelievable game that we have been given, you know, like, it's a blessing, you know. I grew up watching, I'm doing an interview with Charles Barkley. You know, like, you know what that means to me? I go to Board of Governors meetings and Michael Jordan will come and he'll rub my head all the time. I can call Michael Jordan. I see all these people. I see everything that happens in this unbelievable game. Come on, you know, like, I grew up in Northern Nigeria. I didn't grow up in America. I didn't grow up in Canada. I grew up in Northern Nigeria. I have to find a way to give more opportunity to youth all around the world so there can be more stories like mine. I have to. Yeah. To me, that's the importance of all of this.
We near the end of 2020 and we near the end of this interview here on the Steam Room. So give me something for 2021, Masai, something humanity related, something hope related. What's your vision for the coming year?
Man, we're going to move past this, Ernie, Chuck. We're all going to grow from this. I know that there are so many people that, you know, this has affected the world like we have never known. 10 months now are going, you know, like sitting in our homes. Everything that we've learned about being around each other, you know, like, wow, don't we want to be around each other even more, you know, like after this, we'll beat all these pandemics, you know, like we'll beat every single one of them, you know, racism, we will do better. We have to do better. All of us have to do better. And we have to stay together. Yeah, we have to stay together. It's so important. We can have all the egos in the world, the pride in the world, everything that comes with big things, big money, all of that. At the end of the day, we're human beings. We're human. Yeah? And I appreciate what the NBA has given me and the game has given all of us. Yeah, we have to be appreciative of it. 2021 will be better. It might start off slow, but it will be better by the grace of God.
Hey, man. You got me fired up. I'm ready for 2021 now. I am ready for 20. I want to just tell you something. I said, first of all, I'm not as articulate as you are, but I always tell people, man, I'm the luckiest dude in the world.
Man.
I'm a fat kid from a small town in Alabama, and I grew up to be Charles Barkley because dribbling a stupid basketball. And I do. And I'm not saying that to be humble or boastful or whatever. I do. You said it a lot better than me, but man, we are the luckiest people in the world
because of a
little orange ball. I mean, we are so lucky and blessed. Because I told people, the pandemic, man, I it hurts me. Number one, all the people who have died, but mm-hmm. all the people who lost their jobs, mm-hmm. who lost their businesses. Like that really, if you got any humanity, that's got to hurt you. Mm-hmm. But for somebody like us three, it's just really been an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine losing my job, losing my business. It's just been an inconvenience because we're so lucky and blessed because of a silly basketball. But man, I just want to thank you for being our first guest to kick off the new season. And you got me pumped up. I'm ready now.
He has that knack, Chuck. He has that knack.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. And what you say, Chuck, is so real. I cannot even imagine what somebody can go through where You cannot even go to the hospital with a loved one. Can you imagine that? You know, like you can't. Yeah, yeah. Talking to somebody on the phone, that's gonna, it's unimaginable. So we are so privileged where we are, man. Just guys, I say, please keep up the spirits, keep up what you do. You have no idea how much it lifts us up in so many ways. I've had nights that I've laughed and cried watching you guys just laughing because it's incredible. So I love you guys, and I thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Right back at you, Masai. Thank you so much, man. They don't come any better.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas.
We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, Ernie. Thank you. Bless you.
Damn.
He's the best.
That's unbelievable, man. He inspired me. You know, and I've got to know him a little bit the last few years, but I'm like, wow. Like, Tony Dungy has a saying, and it's true. He says, yeah, a lot of people say shit, but they don't live it.
Yep.
He did. He says, yeah, all these guys get on TV, and they like they know that's what the press wants them to say, but they don't live it. That dude lives it, man.
No doubt. No doubt. And we welcome you back to the Steam Room, episode 1 of season 2. And it wouldn't be a Steam Room without an appearance by the legendary,
oh my God,
longtime producer of Inside the NBA. He oversees the entire operation, Tim Kiley.
Hey, I wish he was overseas. I agree with you, Ernie.
Overseas, Chuck. Overseas.
TK, how are you, kid?
I'm great, Ernie. Chuck, Masai was unbelievable, and I'm not a basketball guy. I was a football guy, so I'm ready to button my chin strap and go get it.
Yeah.
If we could start with a little music, Cap, that'd be great. All right, that's enough of that.
Go Dogs!
Little quiz, Ernie.
Yes, the answer is yes, they did beat Auburn.
Wait, are you bragging about that for some reason?
Stick them. Woof, 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 woof.
Yes, but who is ranked one spot ahead of your beloved UGA in the AP football poll?
Texas A&M?
Is it Florida, or is Florida right behind them?
No.
Cincinnati.
Eh.
What is it?
Coastal Carolina.
Are you serious?
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina. Now, Ernie, you are the king of getting Chuck to answer things the wrong way. So I'm going to start with you. What is Coastal Carolina's nickname?
Oh, that's too easy, TK.
Chanticleers.
It's Chanticleers. Do you, either of you guys know what a Chanticleer is?
It's a rooster.
Wow. Chuck is on fire.
Listen, they've been on TV every week celebrating. They have the best celebrations in college football. They do. You got to watch it. It's hilarious. They do something where they have won every game, but they do something spectacular after every game. And it's like those kids doing March Madness who sit on the end of the bench and dance. Coastal Carolina's been doing it all season. It's pretty awesome.
It's a good reason for them to be in the tournament if there was one, but I'm sure that'll never happen.
You know what? No, I got to tell you something that's funny. You know how a lot of reporters are idiots and morons? These fools actually thought they were going to let Cincinnati, BYU, and Coastal Carolina into the playoffs. I'm like, you don't understand. The NCAA, they're not going to put BYU, Coastal Carolina, Iowa State in the playoffs, guys. Stop acting like y'all so morally outraged. They're going to put the big schools in the playoffs. Now, I do think they made a mistake this year. If the NCAA had any guts, this would be the year to expand the playoffs, put in Iowa State, Coastal Carolina, BYU, Cincinnati, because Cincinnati, that coach is a hell of a coach. They've done a good job. This would have been the year, and this was the kicker. I actually saw fools on television telling me they were not going to put Ohio State in the playoff. They didn't play enough games. And 2 weeks later, they changed the rule. Of course they were going to put Ohio State in the playoffs, you damn fools. They're not going to put Iowa State and Coastal Carolina in there. I don't care if Ohio State played two games.
All right, you good?
Okay,
you good?
I'm good now. Can you cool off?
Good. Because now the question of the day comes. What happened to Lamar Jackson, Chuck?
Oh, he had to go to the bathroom.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Can you elaborate, Chuck, since you've...
TK, sometimes when you got some stuff going around, you ate something bad. Hey, listen, I love Lamar Jackson. He's talking about crap. First of all, he was running to the locker room. You don't move like that when you got cramps. Stop it, Lamar.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Those were clenched. That's that was a straight-legged run.
Hey, Ernie, I was watching the game. They're talking about Lamar Jackson has cramps. I said, that's one word for it.
Oh, my.
That was a hell of a game, though.
It was a great game. Are you on the Browns bandwagon now?
You know, when I sent you that text saying Super Bowl, here we come, I might have been a little premature. Hey, Fiorello, I did. I told you. I'm surprised he didn't jump on that one. I said, hey, when they got the lead, Super Bowl, here we come.
That was a reference, folks, to Steve Fiorello, our director of Inside the NBA and noted Cleveland Browns supporter.
Who for 20 straight years has been telling me it's the Browns' year. He might be right in year 20.
Chuck, one last thing I have to ask you. He was a guest on our show. Gus Malzahn lost his job at Auburn. What was your thought?
I want to thank Gus Malzahn for everything he did for Auburn. He won a bunch of games. He carried himself with class and dignity. And I wish him nothing but the best. I stay out of Auburn politics when it comes to the coaches. But I say Gus has always treated me great.
Good guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was a great guest, Ernie.
I got a lot of respect for him. Yeah, and I wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, man, it's a tough business sometimes.
Masai said it best. Those are the toughest things to do, right?
That's it.
Well, that's all I got this week, Ernie. Wonderful job with Masai, boys.
Thank you, brother. I might got another rebound in me out of talking to Masai. Just one, though.
We'll be back to wrap things up. Thank you, TK.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your
commit this number to memory, please. 404-987-0330. 404-987-0330. Because that's the number for Chuck's answering machine. I love the theme music when it's got the lyrics, which was one of the highlights of last year's season one of the Steam Room. You never know what you're going to get on Chuck's answering machine because there were a lot of fertile minds out there always coming up with stuff. Are you ready for another season of Chuck's answering machine, Chuck?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate the steamers for calling in.
Caller number one, go ahead.
You've reached Charles Barkley. Leave a message, America.
Hey, guys. Loyal Steamer Laura here. My question is for both of you. What are the best movies you've seen or TV shows that you've been binge watching during the off season?
You're the real movie guy, but I'm trying to think of a couple because anytime somebody asks me right off the bat, it's like a bunch of them, but now I've got to think of them. So you go first.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I've been binge watching. I'm in love with Billions right now, brother. You know, I'm just a movie guy and a sports guy. That's the only two things I normally watch. But I found Billions doing this thing. Man, Wags might be my favorite character. I mean, when you wake up with a tattoo on your ass and don't know where it came from, that could happen to Chuck. So, so Billions is the number one thing I've been watching.
We binged, The Undoing, which has Nicole Kidman in it. And,
man, she works a lot, doesn't she, Ernie?
Yeah, and been watching The Crown, Fargo. The season of Fargo had Chris Rock in it.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch Fargo, but I saw a trailer with Chris in it.
Yeah, so, yeah, there have been a few things that we've been watching, but...
I want to see Tenet. Listen, I know a lot of people were complaining. I think that having movies open up at home is a really good idea. You know, I'm a big Russell Crowe fan.
Yeah.
I saw that movie Unhinged, and I almost became unhinged because it was awful. As much as I love Russell Crowe, Unhinged was one of the worst movies I see. It sucked. And I'm a Russell Crowe fan. But Unhinged was awful. The plot sucked. It was awful. I was pissed.
Wow. On the Chuckster scale of wasted time, where does Unhinged compare with Avatar?
I'd rather watch Avatar than Unhinged.
You must have really hate Unhinged.
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh, caller number two, go for it.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Ernie. Excited you guys are back for season two. Got a quick question. So what are your thoughts about a grown man wearing pajamas in public to go pick up a burrito? I need to know your thoughts. Let me know. Thanks, guys.
A grown man picking up a burrito?
Wearing pajamas. I've got to vote against that. I mean,
are you driving through or are you getting out?
Yeah, that's a key question too. But because I have been known to go by like one of my favorite breakfast places and go to the drive-thru, Papa Jack's down here with the, you know, owned by my boy, Billy Mays. And I will have, you know, sweatpants and the shirt that I was sleeping in the night before and slippers.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but I'm not walking in. I'm just going to the drive-thru. So,
but it's never good to wear pajamas in public.
Matching pajamas, no. I think that's a no. Have you ever had pajamas?
I had them when I was younger.
What kind?
But I haven't had them since I was a kid.
What kind of pajamas did you have? Did you have like superheroes on them or something?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. They probably had some type of cartoon or superhero on them.
Yeah.
But now I sleep Comanche, so I don't have to worry about anything like that.
Comanche?
What is that? What I meant to say?
Is that somewhere like Commando?
Commando. Yeah. Commando. Yeah, I go Commando. Remember when I told you, remember about 20 years ago I burned all my underwear?
Yeah. And you still haven't bought any since then?
No, I'm never wearing underwear again. I cut out the middleman.
So as we do this edition of the Steam Room, you are Comanche?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm Comanche. Ernie, no draws ever for Chuck.
Is anybody still listening for call number three?
Ernie, we gotta be honest with our viewers.
Yeah.
Charles. How is life different now that you are a champion? Don't take that away from you, brother. And has anybody reached out to you that you were surprised to hear from to say congrats after you won?
He is obviously referencing the match.
Yeah. Hey, listen, let me say something, be serious for a second. I want to thank Phil Mickelson, Steph Curry, and Peyton Manning for leaving their families on Thanksgiving to raise money for the historically black colleges, man. That was pretty awesome. And listen, you know, celebrities get asked to do things all the time. So I want to thank those three guys personally. And I want to give a special shout out to Turner for hosting the event. He raised a lot of money for historically black colleges. I finally won something. I've been working hard on my golf game.
It showed.
Ernie, you'll never, ever, ever, ever going to beat me again. Listen, this is the way it goes. You, Steve Smith, Sewell, Grant Hill, Kelsey at TNT, Vince Carter. Did I say Grant Hill? I cannot wait to get each one of y'all on the golf course. It's going to be a beatdown. I cannot wait. And that girl, Kelsey, she talks a lot. She talks a lot. And Grant Hill, he talks a lot. And Steve Smith, they talk a lot.
I'm 2-0 against you, man.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Hey, we're not living in the past, Ernie. We're living in the present, brother.
Yeah, exactly. I do have to say that I was impressed. There were a few things that were just great during that coverage. I loved it when Gary McCord had watched you hit balls for three holes and said, this is the second best resurrection of all time. And I also, I really enjoyed Phil kind of talking us through the course and what goes through his mind. I mean, you know now, I mean, if you didn't know before, how analytical he can get about how you're going to play shots and do all this, and just the importance of it, keeping the ball in play and advancing the ball and getting there. You know, I thought it was great, man.
Yeah, he's the Ken Jennings of the golf world. We had a great time, and Phil was awesome. But like I say, man, I appreciate those guys leaving home on Thanksgiving to raise money for a great cause. But thanks for the call, brother. The champ is here. The champ is here.
Who have you heard from?
Oh, I heard from everybody in the world. I'm not going to lie. I had so many messages because, Ernie, everybody know I've been to hell and back on my golf swing. And shout out to my teacher, Stan Udley. I've had a lot of great teachers from Butch Harmon to Hank Haney, my boy Greg in Arizona. I've had some great teachers, but me and Stan, we have a connection. And Ernie, I cannot wait to get you on the golf course again.
Believe me, I'm looking forward to it, Chuckster. I'm looking forward to it. That's a wonderful way to wrap up show number one for season two, I think.
Yes.
Aside from the whole Comanche thing, it was a great way to wrap up the show. So all you loyal steamers, we are back. It's season two. Episode two comes your way next week, just before Christmas. Hope you all have a great week. Be safe, wear your mask, and watch us on TNT next week. NBA season fixing to start.
Tuesday and Wednesday, Ernie. You
got that. I'll be there with you.
Tuesday and Wednesday next week, guys.
That's it for the Steam Room. See you next week.